Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to LBN Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Larry C. Barnes, and I'd like to thank you for joining me this morning here in the studio of LICICS Broadcasting Network. This morning, we're going to dive in and we're going to deal with the CLIN show sessions. And this morning, we're talking about Christian women living in the now. We're talking about Christian women living in the now. Christian women living in the now. What is this show about? This is episode 2 of Christian Women. This is episode 2 of Christians Living in the Now show sessions. This is episode 2. We talked not too long ago about Christian men living in the now, which was a powerful show. But this morning we're going to deal with Christian women living in the now. What is this show about? We come to inform Christian women, to educate Christian women, impact Christian women, change the life. All of this is life impacting. Today we're going to do life informing of Christian women. We're going to do life educating of Christian women. We're going to impact the life of Christian women. We're going to promote change of the life of Christian women, and then development of the life of Christian women. Training, equipping, yes, equipping. That's our goal. That's what we seek to do. Equip, inspire, motivate, empower, renew, and enrich the lives of Christian women living in the now. Ruth was living in her now. There are women throughout the Bible who were living in their now. Mary Magdalene, who was a prostitute, then became a follower of Jesus Christ, was a Christian woman living in her now. The mother of Jesus, Mary, was a Christian woman living in her now. And the now was that time. You were not back there with Mary Magdalene. You were not back there with Mary or Martha. You was not back there, so you was not living in that time. If you are a Christian woman, your time is now. What are you doing as a Christian woman now? How are you portraying the gospel of God now? If you are a Christian woman living in the now, the question is, how are you living? Are you living as a Christian woman, or are you living as a heathen? Are you a Christian woman living in the now, portraying the ways of the kingdom? You remember in the book of Isaiah, the Lord said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Hold on. We'll go there. I want to read that real quick before I dive into this, because this is going to get good. The Bible, were there women throughout the Bible who loved God? Yes, there were. Did they follow God? Yes, there were women that followed God. Were there women that became leaders? Yes, there were women that became leaders. In the New Testament, were there women that preached the gospel? Yes, there were. Oh, they didn't do it necessarily. They didn't own churches, but they did it from their homes. Yes, there were. Did women follow the ministry of Jesus Christ? Yes, they did. Were there women involved in the ministry of Jesus Christ? Yes. Did the women support the ministry of Jesus Christ? Yes. And we're going to get into that too when we get down to the talking here about Christian women living in the now and the statistics of how they make up the majority of the congregation in the Baptist church, the Catholic church, the Presbyterian church, the non-denominational church. What would church be without the women? Because women have always played a part, a major part, in the body of the church. And they have played a major part. We can't take that from them. We cannot deny that. We cannot deny that the worldwide Christianity. There are probably more women than there are men involved. When we look at how women outnumber men in the churches, and the women in the churches and the men in the help make up the population. So when we look at how in most churches the women outnumber the men, and so when we put all that together throughout the world, and we might have more women involved in Christianity than men. Because even in Jesus' time, a large part of the following were women. Women supported him extensively. So, Christian women living in the now, do they deal with some of the same issues that a normal woman of society deal with? As I said when I was doing the show about the men, it is wrong to think that a Christian woman don't deal with anything. Just because she's a Christian woman does not mean she's not dealing with the issues of life, the circumstances, the situations, the event. Just because you get born again and you get saved and you get filled with the Holy Spirit does not mean the devil has left you alone. Because, as I said, I can show you in the scriptures where Satan, even though Jesus himself was the Son of God, we saw Satan kept coming back messing with Jesus. We even saw a text where Satan was standing there while Jesus was talking to the disciples and interrupted Jesus and whispered in his ear and said, "Can I have Peter? Can I sift Peter like wheat?" So that lets you know that, and the Bible says after he had tempted Jesus, he left him for a season. So if the enemy is tempting men, if the enemy is after men, then he's also after women. Many of the great leaders of today, many of the great bishops and apostles and evangelists and pastors and prophets and teachers that we all know, many of the well-known, well-recognized, the Ron Parsleys, the Benny Hinns, the T.D. Jakes, the Miles Monroes, the belated Miles Monroe, and we just go on and on and on, Jesse Franklin, and we can just go on and on with that, they came from women. These have become great men in the Christianity world. But I look at their mothers and say, wow, their mother was carrying the greatness inside of them. So that must make them great women. Benny Hinn's mom was carrying him around, not knowing that he would grow up and be who he is, impacting the world on a massive stage. But she was carrying that greatness inside of her. Every great prophet, every great evangelist, every great apostle, even Paul came out of his mother. Great apostle Paul came out of his mother. Bishop Timothy came out of his mother. The prophets, all of these great men you see in the Bible came out of their mothers. Except now Jesus Christ, we know what went on with that, but he still was carried by Mary. Yes, she did. She carried him in her womb. Hello? So he still came. He was carried by a woman. He was born as a baby. So we see that women play a very important part, not only in Christianity, but they play a very important part in life itself. They play a very important part in life. So here we are talking about Christian women living in the now. We're talking about Christian women living in the now. Christian women living in the now. How are you living right now? Are your situations getting the best of you? Are you being overtaken by the storms of life? Have you lost the faith, or have you returned back to the world and became a harlot? Involved in whoredom, prostitution, or what is it you're doing? Are you living the life, not only are you talking it, but you're living it. Not only are you wearing the name of it, but you can back it up. You are truly a Christian woman. You have Christian values, Christian morals, Christian character. You've worked on it. You took years to develop it. You're doing very well. You serve God. You pray. Amen. You do those things that are required. You're not waiting for someone to make you the Christian woman that you should be. You yourself have standards and boundaries. You have put certain things in place. There are just certain things you won't allow. There are just certain things you, before you can set boundaries for how other people deal with you, you got to set boundaries for yourself. As a Christian woman representing the kingdom of God, representing Jesus Christ, you've been bought with a price. Your life is no longer yours. It belongs to Christ. So if you are that type of woman, then there should be virtue. There should be enough. There should be character. There should be morals. There should be standards. There should be boundaries. You don't do every and anything under the sun, and you don't carry yourself any and every kind of way. You have morals, you have standards, you have character, you have boundaries. But unfortunately today in this world we live in today, Christianity has been diluted and polluted. It has been changed. It has been expanded to include some things you never thought you would see. And the face of Christianity is altered because what we are calling Christianity now, some of it is prostitution, some of it is harlotry, some of it is just straight defilement and corruption. But because we have grown dim, as Timothy said, in the last days, men would become lovers of themselves. They would become boastful, proud, and arrogant, and self-righteous, and disobedient to parents. But see, not only men, but women also. Because we're living in the last days, so the heart of men and the heart of women are changing. And it is amazing and astonishing to me to see what pastors and evangelists and apostles and prophets are doing and calling it Christianity. It is amazing to me the things that we are seeing people doing from the pulpit. I was reading an article the other day on the internet. I was looking up some things there. I always try to stay informed on what's going on with leadership. And I saw this woman prophet who was exposing her breasts to her congregation and said she was doing it in the name of Jesus. And I said to myself, what in the world has happened to Christianity? What in the world has happened to decency, morals, and character? We got a lot of perversion, a lot of pollution, a lot of contamination going on. But Timothy warned us of that. He warned us that these things would come in the last days, that we would give heed to seducing spirit, and that we would be carried away in our own lust. So it's not only Christian men that are falling, but it's Christian women. It's not only Christian men that are messing up. Christian women are messing up. It's not only Christian men that are going astray. Christian women are going astray. So we have a problem with men and women in Christianity. So how you doing? How's it going for you, Christian woman, living in the now? Are you more concerned about keeping up with the Joneses down the street than keeping your word to your Lord and Maker? Are you more concerned about what people think, feel, and say about you than keeping the word of God and walking and living a righteous life? What the world itself is calling Christianity, as far as I see it, is not Christianity. Not according to the word of God. Not according to Jesus Christ, the one who brought it to us. What I see, even some men and women of God portraying as Christianity, is not Christianity. It's what we are doing to make things acceptable in the world. But Christian woman living in the now, you have to have confidence. You have to be bold. You have to have character. You have to have morals. You have to know that you know that you know that you're going to serve God for you and not for nobody else. You are not trying to compete with anybody else serving God. You know that you know because of what he's done for you, because what you have seen him do, because of what you have read, what you have grown to understand, what you have seen him do in other people's lives has convinced you that you're going to stay with God and that you're going to be a Christian woman living in the now. And instead of portraying your flesh and revealing more of it for the world to see, you are going to reveal Christ. You're going to be Christ-like. And when I look at you, I see Christ. I see your pretty eyes. I see your pretty hair. I see your nice-shaped body. I see that you're a woman of excellence. I see that you carry yourself in a dignified way. I see that you got morals about yourself. I see that you can be a little complex. I see that you got character. I see that you're a woman of wisdom and knowledge. I see that. I see that about you by the way you carry yourself. But some of the things we're seeing today with Christian women, they are dressing worse than the loose women in the world. The Christian women are dressing worse than the looser women in the world, but yet we still call it Christianity. Amen. We still call it Christianity. And I guess what I'm saying, a Christian woman can go dance on a pole at a club, dance and shake of this and do that and do this and then go to church on Sunday and stand up and preach from the pulpit, and we say, that's all right. Something is wrong with the Christianity we are teaching today. Something has changed. Y'all understand what I'm saying? When a woman of God can go to the club and get on a pole and dance, half naked and strip and do all that, then get back up in the pulpit on Sunday and preach, and some of the deacons were down there with her, and then she can get back up and preach and say, God was with me at the club last night. I got on the pole and I danced all those women, and God was with me. Now, you tell me something ain't wrong with this form of Christianity. Something is wrong. And we got to be careful of women, Christian women living in the now. We got to be careful of how far we're taking this thing. Back in the days, the children of Israel got in trouble with God because they practiced symmetryism. And let me explain to you what symmetryism is. They would worship God in the morning, and then they would go out and worship all the gods of the Egyptians. And they would do all this kind of stuff and stuff. They was trying to do both things, and then they wrapped it all up and called it serving God. That's what we're in today. We're trying to worship two or three more things. We're trying to be loyal and dedicated to two or three more things. Not only do we worship God, we worship Buddha. Not only do we worship Buddha, we worship Astra. Not only do we worship Astra, we worship the 30,000 fertility gods of the Egyptians. Not only do we worship that, we worship the African gods. We worship voodoo. We worship witchcraft. And then we wrap it all up in a nice bundle and put a bow on it and call it Christianity. But it is the practice of symmetryism. Are you practicing more than one thing? Are you saying to some people you are a Christian and then to some others you are a harlot? What are you doing? Are you practicing two or three more things at one time under the banner of Christianity? Or is that the type of Christian woman you are now, living in the now? Or you are truly, like they call thoroughbred horses. That's the real deal. Thoroughbred horses come from champion stock. His mother was a champion. His father was a champion. Thoroughbred, that's why they call them thoroughbred. These were the top of the line. The mother was bad. She was a bad horse. The father was a bad horse. Couldn't nobody outrun him. They were some bad horses. So here comes him. He's a thoroughbred. See, Jesus Christ is a thoroughbred. He was bad. The devil couldn't do nothing with him. And so when we become sons and daughters of Jesus Christ, we are his thoroughbreds. When we have been a new creature, the old man has passed away, and now we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. So when we become the thoroughbred of Christ Jesus, thoroughbred, even the women horses, thoroughbred, even the men's thoroughbred, when we become thoroughbreds of Christ Jesus, we the real deal. We ain't no flunkies. We ain't no hypocrites. We the real deal. We the real deal. We ain't practicing no symmetryism. We practicing righteousness, holiness. We keeping it together. So I say to you, what are you doing, Christian women living in the now? I know you go through. I know you deal with things, but hold your head up. Don't give up your place of righteousness, and don't sacrifice the holiness God has put on you. If God has cleaned you up, don't let a man defile you. God has cleaned you up. Remain holy. Keep yourself holy. Keep yourself righteous before God. You are a thoroughbred. You are a son or daughter. Men are sons. Women are daughters. You are a daughter of God. You are his thoroughbred. It ain't you that live, but Christ that lives in you. So you are thoroughbred stock. Unless you go back into the world and and we become like pigs. We go back into the world and we get back in the mud and we water back in them defiled, corrupt, and polluted places. We go back around them polluted and defiled and corrupt friends. We attach to those men that don't mean you no good. You go back to those things that were trying to destroy you, and you call, and then under the banner of Christianity, you call it living right. A lot of what we calling right now is wrong. A lot of what we saying is Christianity is not Christianity. A lot of it is defilement, contamination, pollution. We even get to the point where we call in perversion righteousness. Perversion is not righteousness. Perversion is pervertedness. That's perverting away from righteousness. Hello? My God. I want to read something to you real quick here. Women in ancient Christianity, you know, our show is to inform, to impact, to educate. Let me read something to you here. Women in ancient history from the front line here, it says, scholar Karen King examined the evidence concerning women in part and place in early Christianity. She draws a surprising new portrait of Mary Magdalene and outlines the story of previously unknown early Christian women. Now, Carrie L. King, professor of New Testament studies and history of ancient Christianity at Harvard University and the Divinity School. She has published widely in the areas of ancient Christianity and women's studies. In the last 20 years, the history of women, I want to read a little bit to show you something. In the last 20 years, the history of women in ancient Christianity has been almost completely revised. As women historians entered fields in record numbers, they brought with them new questions, developed new methods, and sought out evidence of women's presence in neglected texts and exciting new findings. For example, only a few names of women were widely known: Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, his disciple and the first witness to the resurrection, Mary and Martha, the sister who offered him hospitality in Bethany. Now we are learning more of many women who contributed to the formation of Christianity in the early years. See, now women played a part. They played a part. Perhaps most surprisingly, however, is the story of women we thought we knew were changing in dramatic ways. Chief among these is Mary Magdalene, a woman infamous in Western Christianity as an adulteress and repentance whore. Discoveries of New Testament from the dry sands of Egypt, along with sharp and critical insights, have now proven that this portrait of Mary is entirely inaccurate. She was indeed an influential figure. But as prominent disciples and leaders of one wing of the early Christian movement that promotes women's leadership. So Mary Magdalene was a harlot, then she met Jesus, and she got converted, and she became a disciple, and she followed him, and she supported him. Certainly the New Testament gospel written toward the last quarter of the first century acknowledged that women were among Jesus' early followers. From the beginning, Jew women, disciples included Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Susanna, had accompanied Jesus during his ministry and supported him out of their private means. Luke 8:1-3. He spoke to women both in public and private, and indeed he learned from them. According to one story, an unnamed Gentile woman taught Jesus that the ministry of God is not limited to particular groups in person, but belong to all who have faith. Mark 7:24-30, Matthew 15:21-28. A Jewish woman honored him with the extraordinary hospitality of washing his feet with perfume. Jesus was a frequent visitor at the home of Mary and Martha and was in the habit of teaching and eating meals with women as well as men. When Jesus was arrested, women remained firm, even when his male disciples are said to have fled, and they accompanied him to the foot of the cross. It was women who were reported as the first witness to the resurrection, chief among them, again, Mary Magdalene. Although the details of this gospel story may be questioned, in general, they reflect the prominent historical role women played in Jesus' ministry as disciples. Yes, you are important. Yes, you matter. Yes, you matter. You are very important to the body of Christ. You have a role to play in the body of Christ. As a Christian woman living in the now, you have a role to play. You have a role to play as a leader over your daughters, as a leader in your community. You have a role to play as in the church. You have a role to play about how women should carry themselves, the way women should act, what women should do, how women should live. You have a very exciting role to play. After the death of Jesus, women continued to play prominent roles in the early movement. Some scholars have even suggested that the majority of Christians in the first century may have been women, and that is still true today. Majority of the Christians in the world today, a majority of that is women, and I promise you, if you just think about the churches and how most of the churches, the congregation is, there are men, but most churches, the women outnumber the men. And if that's the case, then you go around the whole world and you put the whole body together, you will see that there probably is more women than men. So they play an important part. The letter of Paul, dated to the middle of the first century, and his casual greeting to acquaintance offer fascinating and silent information about many Jewish and Gentile women who were prominent in the movement. His letter provides vivid clues about the kind of activity in which women engaged in more generally. He greets Priscilla, Joanna, Jula, and Nazareth's sister, who wore and traveled as missionaries in pairs with their husbands or brothers, Romans 16:3-7:15. He tells us that Priscilla and her husband risked their lives to save his. He prays Joanna as a prominent apostle who had been in prison for her labor. Mary and Paris are commended for their hard work, Romans 16:6-12. Eurydia and Synergy are called his fellow workers in the gospel, Philippians 4:2-3. Here is clear evidence of women apostles active in the early work of spreading the Christian message. Paul's letter also offers some important glimpse into the inner workings of ancient Christian churches. These groups did not own church building, but met in homes, no doubt due in part to the fact that Christianity was not legal in the Roman world of its day, and in part because of the enormous expense to such fleeting society. Such homes were a domain in which women played key roles. It is not surprising then to see women take a leadership role in house churches. Paul tells of women who were the leaders of such house churches, Aphrodite in Philemon 2 and Priscilla in 1 Corinthians 16:19. The practice is confirmed by other texts that also mention women who headed churches in their homes, such as Laodicea of Thyatira, Acts 16:15, and Nymphia of Laodicea, Colossians 4:15. Women had offices and played significant roles in group worship. Paul, for example, greeted a deacon named Phoebe, Romans 16:1, and assumed that the women are praying and prophesying during worship, 1 Corinthians 11. As prophet, women roles would have included not only elastic public speaking, but preaching, teaching, leading prayer, and perhaps even performing meals. Later, first century work called Diocese assumes that this duty fell regularly to Christian prophets. So I'm going to cut it right there, but it's so much information here. And it's so, and it just goes on and on talking about women in the early movement of the church. And what I'm trying to say is Christianity has always included women. You play a part. You belong. But now you have to pick up the mantle. You have to take charge. And what kind of Christian woman are you going to be? You're going to be a world Christian woman? You're going to be what the devil called Christian? Are you going to be God's Christian woman? Are you going to be Satan's Christian woman? Or are you going to be God's Christian woman? Are you going to live right, do right, talk right, act right, walk right, and do it? What kind of Christian woman are you going to be? Are you in it for the cause or are you in it for yourself? I encourage you today. I bring to you informing enemies. I educate you today. Be impacted. That was very impacted. If you are a Christian woman and a Christian leader, hold your head up. You belong. I don't care what man said, you belong. Hold your head up. Because if Christ had Christian women around him working to help make the ministry flourish and make the ministry grow, then you go and you do your part. You hold your head up. If you're a prophet, hold your head up. If you're a pastor, hold your head up. Hold your head up and do what God has called you to do. Because it's by the Spirit that God called men and women, not man. Ain't no man called me. God called me. So if you've been called by the Spirit to preach, then woman, open your mouth and preach. You've been called by the Spirit to lead, then lead. Because even back in Jesus' time, we see women playing a part in the movement of Christianity. And Paul's now time, we see it. Even all the way back in Moses' time, we saw women playing a part. That we saw women playing a part. Even Moses' sister was a prophet. So we see that God did never exclude women. He included women. God didn't exclude women. He included women. So now, all of your situations, your circumstances, your trials and things you're going through and things you're dealing with and things you're facing, hold your head up because God is with you. Trust in God. Put your trust in God. God won't ever let you down. Trust in God. Be empowered today. Be empowered. Feel good to call yourself a pastor or a prophet or an evangelist, a teacher, whatever it is. Feel good. If God called you to that, then walk in it. Hold your head up. You ain't got to try to please man. Man didn't have the authority to call you. God called you. So if God called you, hold your head up. Don't worry about what no man say. Hold your head up and do what God told you to do. Now, if God didn't call you to be an apostle, God didn't call you to be a woman prophet, then don't try to do it. Don't go do something God didn't call you to do. Now, whatever God called you to do, that's what you do. That's how you stay equipped. That's how you stay empowered. Because if God called, he said, those are predestined, I ordained. So if God called you, he's equipped you. He's empowered you. He will inspire you. He will motivate you. He will give you the tools you need to do the things he's calling you to do. Christian women living in the now, are you wearing the title, but you're acting like the world? Christian women living in the now, are you walking the walk, talking the talk, and doing the work like Jesus did? Christian women living in the now, you just like the sound of it, but you a harlot in disguise. Christian women living in the now, you really a witch, but you like for people to call you prophetess. Oh, Christian women living in the now, are you really a Christian woman? Are you really a Christian woman living in the now? I want you to go and read this article here on the front line at www.pbs.org. It is a very fascinating article. I want you to read it for educational purposes to help educate you, to show you that these women played some serious roles back in the time of the beginning of Christ's ministry, and these women carried themselves in a way that measured up to the title. So as I bring this to a close, I'd like to thank you for joining me here today in the studios of LBN, LICICS Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Apostle and Coach Larry C. Barnes, and I'd like to thank you for joining me. Join me next Wednesday at the same time as we kick off another show. I hope this has been an empowering episode, especially for women in leadership. Hold your head up. Most churches are full of women. And if God want to raise leaders, then he got to draw women. If you're in a church and ain't but a few men there and there are more women, then you're going to have more women leaders. You're going to have more women leaders. If there are no men, then God will raise up the women. If you're in a church and there are men and women, you will see men and women in leadership position. God is not going to let his ministry start because of a shortage of this or a shortage of that. The Spirit of the Lord calls whomever God chooses. God will choose women and God will choose men. Whomever make themselves available, whomever answer the call of God, that's whom God will use. So I am, again, Apostle Larry C. Barnes, and I'd like to thank you for joining me this morning as we talk about Christian women living in the now. Not just a title, but actually living this thing right now. You're not just up under the banner, but you're actually living this thing right now. Don't need nobody to tell you. You got to have characters, morals, standards, and boundaries. You saw them for yourself when you decided to become a daughter of Christ. You said, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to dress like this. I'm not going to dress like this. I'm not going to act like this. I'm not going to act like this. I'm going to carry myself in a respectable way because I represent the kingdom of God. When I go out and when I come in, I represent the kingdom of God. I am a Christian woman, and I'm going to carry myself in such a manner. Thank you for joining me.